Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live. Today, Obama has his final address. We'll go over the best of CES and the Golden Globes. And the iPhone is 10 years old. Let's go.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
Raindrops, drop top, smoking, no cooking the hot pot, fucking on your bitch, yeah,
that.
Cooking up dope in the crock pot.
Bye.
We came from nothing.
Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech, the show we break down nerd culture, tech news from a black and brown geek perspective. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm neither bougie nor bad.
I hope not. You ain't talking about fellas.
That's true. That's very, very, very good point. I'm neither bougie nor bad. I'll stick to it. Akili, who is also neither, is right here to my left. How you doing?
Hey, man. I'm doing all right, man. Yeah. I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Migos. As shouted out by Childish Gambino and Donald Glover when he won his first Golden Globe of two of the evening.
Yeah.
That was dope.
Yeah.
Very it's a great dope. Moment.
Super great moment and hella funny.
Yeah. It was funny. Even the room, we got like a couple chuckles in the room.
I mean, it gave Migos their first number one hit.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Because people were like, oh, what is Bad and Bougie?
Bad and Bougie, Google. yeah, good for them, you know.
Hey.
It's just the power of similar thing happened with Black Beatles, but like that was kind of a longer tail thing. This was just like instant.
Instantaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, funny. We're gonna go back to that, but I wanted to start there. Give me your flash thoughts on the Golden Globes and flash thoughts.
I mean, love Meryl. Expected her to say something that was politicized.
Yeah.
I think she, you know, obviously A-lister, top of the game.
Overrated.
Okay, Trump. Highly respected for her to, you know, almost like Leo did when he won his Oscar.
Yeah.
Just, you know, to use that stage and platform as a way to get out some really truthful, honest messaging that we all can be inspired by. So I love that. I'm glad Tracy won. That was great for her, and you know, to keep the history of her personal family, being that her mom won one.
Yeah.
44 years ago.
Sure.
And obviously, we just talked about Gambino and him winning two, which I think is awesome. We're big fans of the show Atlanta and him as an artist.
Yep.
I thought it was dope, man. And just what was the other cool remark? And obviously, Viola for Fences.
Yeah.
Her performance in that film was crazy.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to you about that. Yeah. So you finally saw it, right?
Yeah, mucus everywhere.
Yeah, it's a Viola. She's
What about
Troy? Like, she be killing it.
Man,
and she's always the one scene, you know, from Doubt to even in Denzel's other joint, Antoine Fisher.
Yeah.
Just one scene killer, you
killing
know.
Killing it.
And so, you know.
What about you? Takes on the Goldens.
Everything you said. And then I'll add Viola's introduction of Meryl. I thought was also
was
super dumb. Classy and super eloquent and like really great. You know, I like Jimmy a lot. I thought the open was great. I thought the monologue was just like another Fallon monologue.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, people didn't like this. Because I'm corny as hell, I like the Cypress Hill Redmayne and the Chastain joke. I like that a lot.
Right.
That's like my kind of joke, but
right.
You know, people thought that was corny, but I like corny. Other than that, you know, kind of business as usual with the Hollywood Foreign Press. I mean, you know, taking it back to tech, you know, Bezos was there, and which is very interesting to see him there because his Amazon folks are there. And look, the Hollywood Foreign Press, notoriously a small sort of shadowy group who are maybe easily bribed and influenced. So it's a surprise, but not a surprise to see Billy Bob Thornton win for Goliath, a show that has like zero buzz.
Right.
That's actually pretty good. I started watching. That's pretty good. It's David E. Kelly. It's good. It's like a good kind of like David E. Kelly kind of, you know, legal procedural turned, you know, prestige television.
Right.
But that shit just dropped. No one knows about it.
Yeah.
Hollywood Foreign Press is like Billy Bob.
Blow it up.
So Bezos is front row like.
Right.
Drones for everyone.
Right.
So I don't know. That seemed a little shady, but Mozart in the Jungle a couple years back. But that, you know, I guess that's the world we live in now. And other than that, I think everyone's right on point. I don't know that Gosling should have won.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I'm not really a fan of the La La Land. I haven't seen it yet, but yeah. I mean, I've read a lot about it, but I don't know. I don't know compared to what else is in the category. I don't know. I don't feel like it should win. Should have won. It should win for the Oscars either.
I think that the thing with La La Land is I think that it's peak. I think it's probably peaked here. I liked it a lot.
I saw it.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was super, you know, charming and all the things people say it is.
Oh, we forgot the main one, Moonlight.
But, oh yeah, of course, yeah. Moonlight. I'm very very happy about that one. That was great. Barry Jenkins was great. It was really great to see them win. Now that was a good, like, everything, you know, the Golden Globe. I think the thing about the Golden Globes is on the movie side, they do really are sort of like an influencer and a precursor for the Oscars.
Right.
Because even if you disagree with what they're doing, Oscar voters are like, you know, they're more like compelled to go check out those screeners now.
Right.
So all the people who would never pop in a Moonlight screener are now like, all right, I guess I gotta watch this Moonlight shit, right. You know?
Yeah.
So, and that's good. And same with Hidden Figures, and even being nominated, you know, like all those things.
Heard great things about Hidden Figures.
Yeah, I'm ready to see. I can't believe I haven't seen it yet, but yeah. Like, so I think that's good. On the TV side, I just really feel like it's just the Hollywood Foreign Press Association just collecting money.
Of course,
like they're always just trying to make news, you know, like just because like, you know, it's really interesting. But the other thing I will say is, what about, I don't know if you watch any of the red carpet stuff. I'm sure you heard about it because it's been on the news. But man, the Jenna Bush. First of all, you know, as a Gemma, I can't remember the twins. Gemma and Shmima. I can't remember the twins' name. Listen, I'm not mad at them, but as a former entertainment news producer, I think she's terrible.
Yeah,
she's not good. Like, she's not good. I mean, like, you know, obviously this place is built by someone who's super good, Maria Menounos, and AfterBuzz and BHL are full of tons of women and men who would just destroy her.
Right.
Like, it's so frustrating to see, where there's so much talent out there, to see, you know, her on the red carpet and then on Today Show, like, just F up the joint. And you look to the name, and then the Bush, and the Billy Bush is on there, and it's just weird. I don't like any of it.
And I'm going to sleep now.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. But anyway, the only reason I brought that up, I got off on her, how bad she is the Pharrell.
Oh.
The Pharrell bit, right. Where she did the, you know, and Pharrell, you're up for Hidden Fences? Hidden Fences? Like, Pharrell's face was like, you know, that was just another.
Yeah, I missed that. Yeah, I didn't see that. That didn't come on radar.
Oh, and that's what bringing up. Yeah, the big thing. Like, Hidden Fences. I'm like, what's next? Moonlight over Hidden Fences? Like, you're up for all the black ones.
Wow.
Yeah, she did it. And that was tough. And Pharrell's look was like, he didn't say that to her, but his look was like, oh, come on now. Anyway. Let's get it. So let's.
I gotta go watch.
Yeah,
that.
Watch that. There's a lot of memes on it. There's a really good internet. A really good Instagram meme, which I'll send to you, which is funny. So last night we had a historic moment with our president, Barack Hussein Obama, did his final address to the nation, back from where it all started in Chicago. And it was as eloquent and as hopeful and a few warnings and everything that we thought it would be and more. I found myself very, very emotional as he did with that speech. I think the weight of the last if you count 2004, the last, you know, 10 years or 12 years, I'm sorry, really, you know, really started to weigh down, you know, and... is a great era, and as he lists his accomplishments and gave his warnings, it's just it was really tough. But one of the things he did mention is he did give a few social media shout outs. He just mentioned some things about, like, you know, he talked about the fact that we should, you know, instead of argue with people online, maybe have conversation with them face to face. He gave a lot of warnings, much like, you know, Ike gave the warning of the beware the military industrial complex. You know, presidents ever since George Washington have given some sort of warning to us, and his warnings were, you know, were about democracy and staying together, and it was wonderful. And I don't know, what'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great. a lot of the things that he did say, I wish he would have been more vocal about actually during his presidency versus the last 10 days, especially about the things that he was talking about that were strictly related to black folks like BLM. And just the protest movement, I felt like he was very vocal about, you know, their right to, our right to, you know, have protests and to be able to assemble and to, you know, bring to the forefront of people's consciousness what's happening in a lot of cities and towns in America. I wish he would have been more vocal about that. However, yeah. I mean, that was just me being critical, but no, generally, I think that the speech was very charismatic. I loved him displaying. I love him wearing his heart on his sleeve, and when he's talking about his family and his wife Michelle and his kids, like, you know,
yeah,
crying. Like, I love men that don't shy away from their emotions, and that shows a very unique sense of strength to be able to be vulnerable like that on a world stage.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So I loved it. It was very personal. I could connect to it. I think it's a great way to end the chapter of his presidency. You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, when you juxtapose it to what's happening with Trump, it's just, man, like, it just makes him look like the most amazing president we've ever had.
I mean, you go to sleep to that and you wake up to Trump, right. And, you know, like barking and not completing sentences. And I mean, this guy can't conjugate a verb. He can't, you know, he can't put together, like, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's, you know, so yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think that was great. He also talked about, you know, the relentless pace of automation, right. and how this stuff is happening. And we've got to, you know, these are the things that are really the threat to us, not so much each other and other people and others coming in and immigrants taking jobs, echoing kind of what Meryl Streep talked about.
Automation
as well.
And also climate change. He was hit that one as pretty heavy as well.
Yeah.
And that's when he said the line about, you know, you can, I think he said something, that's the karma line. He's like, you're going to have to cash the checks that you're writing now, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to talk this way and you're going to act this way and you're going to take these positions about, you know, our world and environment, well, it's going to be a point in time where our kids are going to be the beneficiaries of that and there'll be nothing they can do.
Yeah.
So I love that he hit that pretty strong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the short-sightedness of these people, I can't even get into it. I agree. So I want to touch a little bit on some of the CES, a couple quick CES things. So we didn't get a chance to talk about CES. A lot of things that came out of there, and I think the overall theme, a couple years ago we went, it was all about wearables, and you know, and that was the theme.
And wearables, and 3D printing.
3D printing. I think this time around, it's really about AI and also kind of stuff for the home, like internet, like the
internet of things,
or like the Alexas of the world and those kind of things.
Yeah. And I think, AI.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's
AI
true.
Integration into the Internet of Things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the things like the smart remote. I don't know if you saw this. This 700 smart remote.
Next.
You're out on that.
Next
on that.
Come on, cool. Like, that is not cool.
The
whole point is having AI, so you don't have to have a remote.
That's
stupid.
True. Still, that's true. But I like the idea. You gotta, you know, be able to, like, anyway.
Okay.
Remotes are an issue for me still.
Really?
They're an issue for me, especially in the cord cutting world. You got the Apple remote.
That's why you have an
over.
AI. Change the channel.
That's true.
I want to watch this.
Now that's what happens with my Xbox. I do that with my Xbox, but the Xbox doesn't have that with my. It doesn't do that with my Apple TV, which is an issue.
Right.
But Apple TV does that now.
Yeah, with the new Apple TV.
So I got to integrate those two.
And the new Fire Stick.
Yeah. Oh,
most of the new ones do that now.
Yeah. I wish there was a way to integrate what's going on with my Apple TV or my Fire Stick and my Apple TV or my Xbox and my Apple TV. That's what I really need to do. But.
Well, put your Xbox in a box and put it in the garage. Retire that bad boy.
I play the games.
Okay.
And Amazon. That's the only way I get Amazon now.
Oh, through your Xbox.
Yeah, because iPhone's not. I mean, I Apple's not effing with them or vice versa.
Right.
So they need to fix that.
Right.
So, you know, get together. I can't ever say the name. The Lenovo Smart Home Assistant. What about the LG W7 TV?
I mean, TVs are always big at CES. They've always been.
Yeah.
And I think, when we went a few years ago, you know, 4K was like the new thing, and it's taken like 3 years barely now for the, obviously for the prices to come down, and now for the to actually be content that you, you can watch on your 4K. I love that Netflix and Amazon offer 4K.
When I walked to Target today, I saw all the Bourne movies available in 4K UHD. Exactly. I'm like, oh, finally.
Right.
I bought the TV 4 years ago.
Exactly. And I'm mad at myself for buying a 4K TV as early as I did. Because, like, what? I bought it when it was still, the prices were still high.
Yeah.
And there's no content. It's, like, pointless. Right. I could have got a huge 1080 TV for the price of the 4K TV.
Right.
Whatever, though. But, you know. I think CES is always dope because you see the freshest televisions. You know, we have 8K technology and just crystal clear. You know, visuals, and they really demonstrate that, you know, at that conference, so at that convention.
Sure. What about this Curie robot?
Man, get out of here. That looks retarded.
I mean, we're talking about AI and stuff. You know,
I don't want my AI to look like, I don't want it to be personified. I'd rather it be like a piece of, you know, nicely designed technology. I don't want it to look like have a face.
That's an interesting thing.
Like now, at least.
Well, but that's an interesting thing because some people. That's an interesting debate because some people want that. Like, I mean, look, we have Cortana, Siri, you know, Alexa. Mm-hmm. Some people want that personification, you know.
Yeah, but our in GPS. The design? In the actual physical design? The encasing of the technology?
Hello, Akili. Like, it's winking. Got a smiley face.
No, thank you.
No, I'm with you on that one. I don't like that.
That's too gimmicky.
Way too gimmicky. It's the same thing. I don't like my food. Like, I don't want to go to chicken place that has Clucky the Chicken as the... as a mascot.
Yeah.
Come eat my chicken.
Yeah, I'm straight.
Yeah, I don't want it. I don't want that. So I get you. So okay, let's move on to like just the AI, you know, took the center stage of, they talk about the four C's, which are connectivity, computing, and convergence and cognitive platforms, which are, you know, sort of that's kind of the way things are going. And I mean, they like the things that they're doing with like Siri and Google Assistant and Viv and Alexa. Their Alexa has 7,000 skills, powering new skills, powering everything from fridges to lights to cars. I mean, this is happening.
Yeah, I love it. You know, the Internet of Things. Each device, you know, has an API, obviously, which allows, you know, a artificial intelligence like Alexa or like a Siri to connect into it. And so then you're able to turn on your lights. You're able to change the temperature in your home. You're able to open the garage door to let your car in. You're able to do all these things that, you know, required your hands before. And I love the fact that, you know, now that the voice recognition is to a point where you can actually give a command to the AI with music on, with noise in the background. It can still pick up your voice and hear it. Like, my favorite thing right now is the Amazon Echo Dot. I think that thing is fresh. It's only $40, $50. And it's amazing. Like, to me, the first generation of that, imagine, you know, 10 years from now, we talk about the iPhone being 10 years old. Imagine 10 years from now, from this point, what the AIs are going to be in terms of what their ability to do.
Yeah.
Like, they're already crazy right now.
It's going to be Her. Like, you know, the movie Her.
Right.
You know, which is...
But, no, I think in 10 years from now, there will be an AI that looks like us.
Oh, wow.
That looks like us, yeah.
You know, like Westworld.
100%.
Wow.
I believe it. 10 years from now, I believe it. They already
10
have
years.
It. I'm sure they already have it. It's just not perfected.
I mean, look, there's the technology is definitely there. What they're able to do Imagineers were doing like 45 years ago with all the Disney stuff, like, you know, Great Moments with Abe Lincoln. That was we're talking the 1960.
Yeah.
So I mean, take that technology and fast forward it now to what we're able to do, and then add AI to it.
Yeah,
you have something maybe. So who knows? Even if it's just a torso,
right?
And they're like sitting there rapping with you, like playing poker. Like that's, you know, that's crazy.
Right.
You're right. I think you're right. I think where it really just starts to get problematic is the motor functions and the movement and walking around, sitting, the, you know, all that stuff. That's the hardest thing to,
those nuances.
The nuances of like walking up and picking up stuff and sitting in a chair, leaning back, and all those things that we can do as humans. That's the hardest part to you know.
It's hard for us to see now, but
in 10 years from now,
10 years ago, we didn't even have a phone that we could touch, and we didn't. What was an app 10 years ago? Like now, these things are like. are, I mean, are all, like electricity. They're in the background.
Like Obama said, we all have computers in our pockets.
100%.
You know, I mean, there's more computing power, like twice the computing power of the lunar lander, you know, in our pocket.
It's retarded.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hear all that. The one last thing on CES, there's a lot of these things. This is one article that came out on Geek.com, which is talking about sort of tech that will ruin or save the world. And it's really interesting. It tells us how cool it is. They also talk about how it's going to suck, but for everyone. But like, so I'm just going to go through them. Augmented reality glasses, like the Snapchat glasses, the glasses.
I've actually demoed them. They're actually pretty dope.
Oh!
Yeah, they're actually pretty dope.
Oh, the biggest critic.
I would never get one.
Right.
But I think the concept is dope.
Well, to explain it to me, because I haven't tried it
yet. It's essentially what it is. You put on the glasses, and you're able to record, and it goes straight to your device. As simple as it is, but it's augmented reality in the sense that you can also have things that are built
Pokemon
into,
Go stuff.
All that stuff. All that stuff. Things built into the environment. And so what I demoed didn't have the AR element into it. It was just the Snapchat functionality. Okay. But yeah, I think it's dope in terms of what could be done with it theoretically. Yeah.
Well, because obviously if they have the glasses, then you know what's next is the contacts, and then we're getting into that.
Right.
into my Black Mirror situation.
Right.
The genie can, the crazy new smart garbage can.
yeah, I'm gonna get that one for sure.
Hey man, you know, it lets you know you can restock certain foods. It crushes stuff. It separates stuff.
Holy smokes! Anyway, really inventive.
Yeah, it's a trash can. then the talking fridge, which has been around for like ever, but they keep improving on the talking fridge with like the giant screen on it. And you know, I mean, I don't know how. Aside from telling you what you're low on and what you need and what's going bad,
right.
Spoiling,
right.
But all the other stuff about like recipes and Food Network and like no one's gonna be on a fridge like checking recipes and shit. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Here's one for you.
You have one carrot and one onion. You can make a no.
I'm not gonna pay an extra $1,500 to have it. Tell me that. I can just look. But anyway, maybe I sound like an old man. But here's one for you.
No, that's not
the
for
radiation.
Me. You're gonna get out of here with that
radiation proof underwear.
No sir.
Like I mean, look, you gotta shield those sperms. You gotta make sure you don't got no testicular cancer. We live in a world that shit could happen.
Well, thank you.
You know, I could. The exoskeletons for the paraplegic. Those things are kind of dope. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean. Obviously, we know the HMEX, this robotic leg brace that helps you walk. Yeah, that's, you know. But also, you know, who knows what'll happen. They reference RoboCop 2, where failed exoskeletons kill people, which we don't want that. And then last but not least, the 3-in-1.
Good night.
You out on the phone?
Really?
The Growl phone?
That's retarded.
You flip it. You got the touch screen. You got the
I have a keyboard. Wow.
Keyboard.
For what? What do I need that for?
People are really still trying to ride for the idea of a tactile keyboard.
That's stupid.
People are still on the tactile keyboard. Like, I just need it. I need to feel it.
I had that 10 years ago, and it wasn't even functionally sound.
Right.
Like, why would you need that when you have everything in your phone and you can have a tablet or you can have your laptop? Why would you need that?
Right.
For what?
I don't know.
Great idea, guys.
So listen, your boy Julian Assange is at it again. You know, before I get to that, I want to talk about our friends over at Blue Apron. I've tried Blue Apron independently of this, and I think we're going to get an opportunity to try some Blue Apron food here within this week. And by the time we come back next week, we'll have cooked up some stuff
With our AI refrigerator.
With our AI refrigerator. But Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. What they want to do is Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. What they do is they get sustainable food system and get the highest standard of ingredients and building a community of home chefs. And then this is kind of working. I mean, you've been hearing about this. I joined it for a second. What it's done is it's done partnerships with over 150 local farms and fisheries and ranchers. As a result, the seafood is sourced locally and sustainably. The beef and chicken come from responsibly raised farms, and the produce is sourced from sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. So these are all the things that we want, and I guess the argument here is instead of going to the store and buying questionable stuff, you know the food you're getting from Blue Apron is going to be good, and on top of that, you're going to get these wonderful recipes, which I'll talk about. What they do is they're able to send you these, send you the food and the recipes for you to cook in your home. And they're actually wonderful. They're affordable. There's a ton of variety. They have wonderful, crazy meals, like chefed up meals. They give you a step-by-step preparation. They're great. They're created by Blue Apron's culinary team. And the meals are like $10 a person, and they're fantastic. So you should check this stuff out. What you need to do is you get the first three meals for free and with free shipping by going to blueapron.com. It's blueapron.com. I think is it slash geek? Do we have a promo code on this one, Marissa? Do you know? I don't know.
Most likely, yeah, it's geek.
Okay. Blueapron.com, promo code geek. Check it out. You love how it feels. You love how it tastes. Check it out. That's blueapron.com/geek. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. We're going to check some of the stuff out and give a report on it. Report to you.
Yes, Chef Master over here.
I know. That's right, because we both think that we're better chefs than the other one, so we'll see. You'll probably take the Blue Apron recipe and like throw it away, and then like just take the ingredients to Master Chef of your own stuff.
I will not reveal what I will do.
All right, we'll check that out next week. So listen, your boy Julian Assange is at it again. He's he's starting to say that like they've got a list of verified Twitter users, and this is another way for them to get in, because you're on Twitter, you're verified, and if you're verified, you're verified through you have a lot of your information. So what WikiLeaks has a way of getting into these verified users, and now they're threatening to. I don't know if it's a threat, but saying that they could disclose all the information of the verified users. To what end? What is this about?
I mean, I don't think they're threatening to do that. I'm saying the threat is there for them to do that.
Okay, fair enough.
I think it's for them to position any person, any celebrity that is advocating against them or being critical of them. To have, you know, maybe some extra intel on them to be able to use in a manipulative way.
Right.
I mean, I don't know, man. I feel like we talk about, you know, our information all the time on the show and the protecting, you know, the civil liberties of that and how we all want to feel safe with, you know, our devices and our information as it's being transferred online over the internet. I feel like any person, WikiLeaks or anyone, can get access to it. We've seen it many times with the various hacks over the last year or two. So, I mean, I think this is like a whatever story to me.
Yeah.
What about you?
I don't know whose side, if anyone, that Julian Assange is on. I don't know what his motivations are. Yeah. I know that he hated Hillary Clinton, so that was easy. So now that Hillary Clinton's out of the way, I don't think he loves Donald Trump so much as he hated Hillary Clinton. So I don't know. I think he's really about himself and maybe even the highest bidder. I mean, who knows? I mean, he's I don't know what his motivations are, so who knows? I know what their capabilities are. I know they have a platform that's an international platform that is not only does their own hacking and reporting, air quotes, but also now is receiving intel from all over the world, you know, because as a place to be able to, they become this hub for if you want to dump some shit, you dump it on WikiLeaks and they'll send it.
Not just the collector of information. They've also been able to retrieve it and do some really serious investigative reporting. I'm not going to knock them all the way. Yeah. They had done some serious groundbreaking reporting.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So
I guess what I'm saying is I don't know. After the whole election thing, I don't know his motives, because I seem like what seemed to be like, we're just a news organization who's right down the middle who just wants to get the information out to the people. They became skewed when it was clear that they were in the business of tanking Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So who else? So in other words, if you piss off Julian Assange, like, you don't know what's going to happen to you. That's not, you know, that's not fair and balanced. So I don't know. We'll see. I just don't like when he comes out with like what the stuff they could do, because if they could do it, that means they're probably going to do it. So.
Hey man, if your enemies say what you could do, does not mean that you will do it.
Well, that's true. I mean, this is the whole theory behind nuclear deterrence, behind, you know, having nuclear weapons pointed at each other. But, you know, we'll see. Speaking of which, our president-elect, Donald Trump, earlier this week was...
The president-elect.
Yeah, the president-elect.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Don't include me in that.
The president-elect, Donald Trump, is, you know, there's been this crazy reporting, which he's really pissed about this morning, but by Jake Tapper and Jim Saluto and Evan Perez over at CNN, including Carl Bernstein, mm-hmm. of Woodward and Bernstein fashion, from the the All the President's Men, Nixon stuff, Watergate. They're doing this crazy report and saying that, like, this whole Russian hack thing, the intelligence community knows that Russia has had presented Trump with evidence to say that they were out to get him too. They could have got him too.
Yeah,
they've collected all this evidence on Trump.
Yeah.
And all this evidence on Hillary, and they chose to use all the evidence on Hillary.
Right.
And what they're saying is, even furthermore, that Trump knew this. They were in contact. Some people from the Trump campaign were in contact with them.
Yeah.
And it seems to suggest that we got shit on you, but don't worry, we're after Hillary. Thank God. Thanks, guys. You know, thanks for hooking me up. Which would explain his Russia's great. They're my pals. They didn't out me. My hookers, you know,
my golden showers.
And my golden showers. You know, what do you make of all this? I mean, obviously, I believe it all.
I believe it all. 100%.
So I don't. Unlike Trump today, saying it's like Nazi Germany. Like the one thing I'll say, the level in which Donald Trump, an independent businessman, is just basically pissing in the face of these hardened intelligence professionals that are talking about, like, with decades of experience in the CIA, NSA, and FBI, like, the fact that he can come up and be like, yeah, these guys are all bums, is insane. The fact that, like, our government apparatus, like, on Republican side, this is, like, turned into, like, a partisan matter, and Republicans are like, well, you know, who knows, the CIA, like, is insane to me.
Yeah, I'm tired of being hooked into this energy of Trump. Even though, you know, he's the president-elect, he will be president in 10 days, and we're gonna probably have 4 years of craziness. Hopefully not, but yeah, man, I think that the fact that he's able to just really manipulate the media, the press, and the people that consume it, I think that's the saddest part about it, and just the emotionalizing of it all. It's just a big distraction. It's a distraction from the real issues, from the real things that people need to focus on, communities need to be about constructing. And obviously the distraction is for us to be kind of paralyzed by it while he's overdoing his whatever the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I
mean, because he hasn't had a press conference in over 180 days until this morning. I mean, obviously, he's getting his affairs in order. You know, while everyone else is talking about all this nonsense, he's getting his affairs in order.
I mean, no tax returns.
Thank you.
This whole
the people don't care about my tax returns. Only the media does.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
He keeps doing this Jedi mind trick of like the whole thing of like, no one cares about this Russia stuff. That's you guys, the media. Right. And then people are like, yeah, the media sucks. You tell Trump. It's like, what? Right. Like, what do you mean? Like, the media is holding this guy accountable. Like, how are you listening to him? What credibility does he have?
Right.
I digress.
But how do you substantiate what he says unless you don't have like a body, an institution that's supposed to be giving you objectivity?
No, they're all crooked. Like, only me and Hannity know what's going on here.
Man.
And Breitbart. Not funny, but God. This is ridiculous.
It's sickening.
It's ridiculous. And not even Fox News. It's like, not even Fox News. It's like Hannity. Only good one is Hannity now over at Fox News.
Man.
The rest of them are lousy. Oh, God. I mean, everybody's failing, by the way.
Failing.
CNN's failing. BuzzFeed's a failing pile of garbage.
You're fired.
The New York Times failing. Failing New York Times. All right. Anyway. Next, let's move on. I want to move to the iPhone being 10 years old. I'm jumping to that. It's a big deal. The iPhone's 10 years old. And look at this picture here that we have on our laptop of Jobs and the first iPhone. And the thing looks like, it looks so quaint and like a relic from the past, yet it's only 10 years old. It changed our lives. It's really amazing. And also, looking back to that first keynote, I watched that first keynote.
Yeah, so did I.
It's weird to see, like, yeah, like, Eric, you know, how Google, like, him and Eric Schmidt were like pals, like, right. Hey, not that they're like adversaries now, but they are competitors, they have their own thing, but like, you know, Dr. Eric Schmidt's coming on to talk about what we're gonna do and our partnership, and everyone loves each other and how that's changed. And
right.
I don't know what are your takes on sort of the how things are from 10 years ago to now?
I mean, it just shows the propensity for us to have the ability to develop something that could really change the world. 10 years ago, we would have never thought that we could have such a device, such a powerful device that could essentially do everything that we needed it to do, business-wise, personal-wise, right. communication-wise.
Right.
And I think that, you know, now it's so ubiquitous and so common that it's, like I said, it's like the electricity in the background. It's like a part of us. We don't even see it as a coveted item anymore.
Right.
It's something that's just like normal. Like, okay, you don't have a phone. You don't have a phone that you could touch an app.
Exactly. Right? Not only a phone, but it's a specific smartphone.
Right.
You pull a flip phone on somebody, you're like, have a fucking a can and a string. You know.
So I mean, we talk about all the time. You know, the speed at which technology moves. And just in terms of, just the processors and just how fast and cheap things are now. And that's why I feel like 5 to 10 years from now, like, it's going to be just completely different landscape in terms of how we communicate. I think that the phone will be less and less of a connector in our lives. I think it'll be other things, like we already talked about AI. Mm-hmm. And who knows what the new medium will be, but it seems like every decade there's a new medium, you know. Yeah. Like in the 90s it was the DVD and the CD, you know. Yeah. And the Blu-ray, and you know, now there's a new medium with the MP3 and all that stuff, and MP3 players, and like, I feel like, you know, this will be archaic in 10 yeah. years. The yeah. phone will be archaic in 10 years.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
crazy. I agree. And who knows? And maybe Apple had it right. I mean, maybe the phone will be out. Maybe it will be something closer to a device, like a wearable of some sort that's on your wrist, or in your wrist, or an implant that's in the back of your, you know, thing, or like, some sort of barcode. Mm-hmm. Or something that's on you. There's all kinds of science fiction that has talked about all these different possible things. And I don't know. I mean, I don't doubt that any of them could become true.
Well, it's crazy to me, though, seeing the audience ooh and ah at that keynote.
Yeah.
And like, now it's just a phone.
I know.
You know, it's like, okay, cool.
And just think about, like, yeah, it's hard to put yourself in a world where, like, you would never see anything like that before.
Right.
Like, here's a little platform with, like, a computer screen. Like, even hearing, like, the accounts, like, it's like a flat box, and it's like a TV screen, but right. you touch it, and it's remarkable. Then you can actually pick up phones. Now, like, all that, like, the stuff is like, what, you know? But it's I don't know.
I mean, because out of the iPhone 10 years ago birthed so many things, like video conferencing.
Yeah.
You know, or just, I mean, so many things that came from it, like the whole new surge of photography and,
sure.
and home hobbyist filmmakers.
That's what I was gonna ask you. I think you already answered it, but like, what do you think is the most unexpected thing that came from the smartphone revolution?
I think it just redefined how we communicate. Like, yeah. we don't just communicate through a simple phone call or a simple SMS text message. We communicate
right.
through pictures and images now. We communicate through emoticons and all sorts of various other things. Like, and we all have the ability to have our own platform to air out whatever we want. Versus before this, no one had a platform.
Right.
Your platform was a traditional, conventional ways of obtaining and also getting out information.
Right.
Like, now, like, everyone is an even playing field. I guess that's what it's done. It's okay. Made the playing field even.
I like what it's. I'm really super surprised, and you mentioned it, just like on the photography culture and the filming, you know, sort of the movies and the photography culture. Like, I think mm-hmm. that's like the biggest boon. I mean, I think you think of these guys. You know, you talk about guys like J.J. Abrams, even old like Steven Spielberg, and some of these guys talk about, they had like we had our little Super 8 thing. We're making movies as a kid. Well, not everyone can do that. Not everyone was born yeah. in a household where they had a Super 8. I sure wasn't, you know. And I'm 20 years younger than him.
Just to have a camera, so regular photo camera was very expensive.
Even the kids that are our age talk about we had the big VCR, and we would go to both. We had two machines, and we would dub it. So archaic. I'm like, you had that,
yeah.
you know. But now every kid can do that. Every kid can shoot and edit and do some cool stuff on their phone. And so this next generation of filmmakers and creators and artists, due to the level of photography that's available, all this stuff is available. It's going to be quite amazing.
I mean, this thing has created billion-dollar industries. There's no app store before this.
Yeah.
There was no...
That's the other byproduct. I think the industry created by the app, you know,
right.
the apps. I don't know. Well, I mean, good job. And also, not to be discounted, is the nature that Jobs was first. Like, he's first. Like, they, you know, Apple was first. Now we have a revolution of smartphones and the Google phone and HTC and the Samsung. And it's kind of like, it's ubiquitous. But none of that shit existed before we, before Steve Jobs thought of it and implemented it. So, I know. It's not to be taken lightly. I'm going to skip this HTC thing because after talking about the wonders of the iPhone, I don't want to talk about the HTC phone. The HTC phone. But I do want to talk about the Tesla Gigafactory. It's cracking out in Reno.
Yeah,
we're out near my boy Ray. It's built. The on switch is flipped. Cars are being produced, and you know, it's giant. And good for them.
Yeah, 100%. Like I said last week, man, I'm a huge. Huge fan of him, man. I love, like I said, what he's doing with Tesla, what he's doing with Solar City and SpaceX and the Gigafactory. I think, I mean, the fact that he's all of his companies and the majority of his employees are in the United States. Most of his factories in the United States. Like, so he's providing jobs, he's providing infrastructure, and just a new medium for everything, for how we think about transportation, how we think about our energy, you know what I'm saying? And so our dependency on oil and fossil fuels and just changing the whole game with that and not being dependent on China, Taiwan, and Japan for, you know, battery production and manufacturing. Yep. Like, hey, I'll do it myself. Right. And I'll do it better. And not just will I create the battery, but I'll create what the battery goes into.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's yeah, I'm not mad at the guy at all. I mean, people talk a lot about Steve Jobs being sort of the modern Edison. I mean, you can't sleep on Musk, because the thing about Jobs is, you know, like it or not, he's actually making some stuff.
Yeah,
you know, whereas a
tangible product,
not like, you know, Zuckerberg
reproducible
or Bezos. Well, Bezos is kind of sense. We talked about this before.
Well, definitely is.
But Bezos. Even the Alphabet folks, but they're making stuff, and Elon Musk is making cars. He's making batteries. He's making rockets. He's making solar thing for houses, so that I think that may have a far more lasting impact. I think in history will look kindly. I think history will look at a better at Elon as closer to like an Edison and closer to Jobs than these other guys. But we'll see.
100%.
We'll see.
It's still yet, story's still yet to be told fully.
Yeah, because he's. I mean, he's like not much. He might be my age, which means he's like a slacker. there's a lot more to do. In other news, George Lucas now is bringing his $1 billion museum to LA, and it's going to come down to Exposition Park. And I think that good for us, because you know, San Francisco had a bid on it, and
Chicago had the bid first.
It was Chicago, but I think it came down to San Francisco and
LA.
And LA, they were going to do something on Treasure Island,
right?
Which makes sense, because Treasure Island needs something,
and it's right close to his headquarters. One of the headquarters, ILM.
And he grew up in Alameda, so it's like between his two things. I mean, that seems like it makes the most sense,
right?
But I don't know, money's money, and it fell apart, and it's coming to LA. Good for me.
Hey, I think there's more. I mean, LA is the heart of entertainment, so it makes more sense in that sense. Even though, you know, the Bay Area is his hub, and there's such a lot of wealth there.
Yeah.
But I think LA is a great place, especially if it's going to be an Exposition Park with the other museums. I think that'll be fresh.
Yeah. I mean,
and the mock-ups for it looks pretty futuristic.
Looks ridiculous. It looks something. I mean,
like a spaceship.
Like a spaceship. Yeah, I can see a lot of movie locations being filmed there. And so about 1,500 construction jobs, 350 permanent jobs. I think it'll help continue to revitalize that area down there, which is a place that I've been going to since I was
kid.
I mean, 5 years old.
Yeah, everybody
walking at the Rose Garden.
Exactly.
Last but not least, there's an article on the year ahead in streaming, just sort of comparing some of these streaming things. I really just want to focus to ask you about. We know kind of about Netflix and Hulu and Sling, which is making an uptick.
Yeah.
But I want to talk to you about DirecTV Now and Google. Like, what do you think about what's your take on DirecTV Now that you know of?
I mean, DirecTV Now, like had the special that just ended a few days ago, where you can get if you prepay 3 months, or if you prepaid a month, you can get a Fire Stick for free, or Apple TV for the 3 months for free, and you will get a slew of channels for $100. For a slew of channels, I believe it's 100 channels for $35 a month, no contract. No top box. You just do it straight from the app,
right?
Which I thought was pretty cool. I was actually trying to do it. Upon further research, I found that it's kind of buggy. One of my friends has actually done it, and he is not happy with it because you can't even. It has no cloud servicing, so you can't. There's no DVR functionality. So if you want a program that you want to watch later, you can't. Yeah. You can only watch it if it's on demand. But what about a program that's not on demand?
Yeah. Well, that is. As a cord cutter,
right?
That's
a luxury you have to balance.
To the balance.
Get away, yeah.
But I think that it's a lifestyle shift, and you go away from the viewing habits of going and checking the DVR to going into a world where you just walk and find anything you want.
But sports, I want to replay that. I want to see that dunk. I want to see that football hit. I want to see that grand slam. I can't rewind now.
Well, there's a ton of apps that give you highlights all day long, ESPN.
Right. But I want to see it right now.
Okay, well, you dial it up. You type in whatever. You type in Draymond Green, and all the Draymond Green highlights will come up. You watch as much as you want. You know, it's like it's just a. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting shift. I think it's moving towards the everything demand at your fingertips. One thing that Apple TV has done though, which I think is fantastic, which is. They've recognized the need for people to want to keep and own stuff. So, The old Apple TVs, it's everything streaming. Netflix, right. stream. The new Apple TVs have hard drives, 32 gigs, 64 gigs. That 64 gigs not enough, but it's a start. And so, if you like stuff and you want to keep a season of Game of Thrones and you want to take that and take it over to your house and let's watch it, or, take you load up 13 movies in a season and then take that to the cabin. And watch that at the cabin with no internet. That's cool.
I think it's cool because a lot of the content developers now are offering their content for offline viewing. So if you want to watch a season on Netflix, you download it to the hard drive and then you can watch it wherever, or your phone or whatever.
Same thing. And Netflix stuff on my phone right now.
Exactly.
They're happy with that.
However, back to DirecTV Now, I don't think that the terrestrial offering, the traditional cable. Company offering for this type of on-demand viewing, I don't think they can compete with the Netflix, Hulu's, and Amazon's of the world. I think they're late, and I think that the advancements that they are offering to people are just, they're like whatever, they're gimmicky and they're quirky, and I think they have bugs still. I think they're trying to match the heftiness that the big three are kind of like showing, and it's not really working. No one's really a forefronter from the traditional side as it relates to the on-demand viewing.
I tend to agree. I'm really interested to see, like, with so much competition, I'm really interested to see if there's going to be any kind of mergers. And we're already seeing these big, like this new AT&T has already bought DirecTV, and now AT&T is looking to acquire Time Warner, which would be a huge for them.
But Hulu's a merger.
Yes, I know who's, but I'm saying, like, in addition to that,
like an Apple acquiring
Apple and Netflix,
right? Or
Amazon and Apple,
right?
Whatever, or Amazon and Netflix would make more sense.
Yeah.
Like Amazon should buy Netflix, but. We'll see. I mean, or Google should buy Netflix. I don't think Netflix is for sale. Netflix is the most vulnerable, but also the most like attractive sort of property out there.
Yeah, I don't think they can hold it though. They can't hold it because that's all they offer, unless they develop something else.
Yeah,
like everyone else develops multiple things. They have multiple streams.
Netflix
has one stream.
Right, to just be gobbled up.
Right.
At some point, a Google or an Amazon or an Apple is going to buy Netflix.
Yeah,
it's inevitable. So, and I think if Google makes the most sense, because if they're trying to launch their own thing, and be like, what's Google got? Google, YouTube Red, what do they got? If they got Netflix, and that's easy acquisition for them. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested to try to look down the road and see in 2018, into 2017, how many of these companies become, because we're not going to have, 10 streaming services to choose from, 10 cord cutting services.
We might.
Well.
Because it might be niched out.
Yeah.
Just like it is with music.
Very true.
You might have, I just like gangster stuff. gangster content. So there might just be an offering just for that.
The Gangster Network.
For $3 a month or whatever.
No, I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So. All right, well, that's all we got. That's all I got. Anything else you want to add or hit on?
Oh, man, what else do we have that's circulating right now? What do we have coming up? That's next month, Grammys.
Grammys are for not for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's none really circulating this month.
Except for
two amazing, incredible dudes that have birthdays next week.
That's right, two birthdays coming up. The GOAT Fest 2017. Yeah, we have to do something this year.
Hey, man. We never do nothing.
I know. This is ridiculous.
Anywho, all right. Where can the people find me?
The people can find you where, sir?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine. AKILISHINE. What about you?
You can find me at, where am I? Oh, at Joe K. Braz on Instagram and Twitter. And on Snapchat at JK Braz. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with some Blue Apron food reviews and other stuff. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.